What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, let us take our look, shall we? Our first look for this week, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The Colombian government on Sunday declared that it had overcome the impasse that provoked a diplomatic crisis with the United States, caused by the decision of President Gustavo Petro not to allow the entry of two planes with citizens deported from the United States until these people receive dignified treatment. "We've overcome the impasse with the United States government," said Colombian Foreign Minister Luis Gilberto Murillo, reading a statement at a press conference in the company of Ambassador to Washington Daniel Garcia Peña, Foreign Minister-designate Laura Sarabia, Deputy Foreign Minister Jorge Rojas, and Minister of Commerce and Industry and Tourism Luis Carlos Reyes. Murillo added that in this context, he and Ambassador Garcia Peña will travel to Washington in the coming days to hold a high-level meetings to follow up on the agreements resulted from the joint work that led to the exchange of diplomatic notes between the two governments. "We will continue to welcome Colombians who return as deportees, guarantee them dignified conditions as citizens with rights," Murillo added in the statement. Colombian President Gustavo Petro's decision not to allow the entry of two planes carrying Colombian citizens deported from the United States until those people received dignified treatment led his American counterpart, Donald Trump, to order the imposition of 25% tariffs on all Colombian products and announce that in a week they will be raised to 50%. The U.S. president also announced travel restrictions and visa revocations for officials of Petro's government and his party, possibly economic sanctions against the country and inspections of Colombian citizens and goods arriving in the United States. United States Secretary of State Marco Rubio ordered the immediate suspension of visa issuance in the consular section of the U.S. Embassy in Bogota starting this Monday, a measure that harms thousands of people who had their appointment scheduled months or even years ago. Petro responded with the principle of reciprocity and ordered the Minister of Commerce, Industry and Tourism, Luis Carlos Reyes, to raise import tariffs from the United States by 25%, as well as look at other destinations for their national products. In the statement, the Colombian government reiterated Petro's instruction to make available the presidential plane to facilitate the return of the compatriots who were to arrive in the country yesterday in the morning on deportation flights. Colombia confirms that diplomatic channels of dialogue will be maintained to guarantee the rights, national interest, and dignity of our citizens, concluded the Colombian statement. The United States government, for its part, assured in a statement published in Washington alongside Murillo's declaration that the tariffs proposed or promised by Trump against Colombia imports and the sanctions will not be signed unless Colombia does not honor this agreement. Visa restrictions issued by the State Department and enhanced customs and border protection inspections will remain in effect until the first plane load of Colombian deportees successfully returns, White House spokesperson Caroline Levitt added. The Panama Canal is at the center of geopolitical tensions these days. Two key events next week reinforce its reality. On Tuesday, the 28th of January, the U.S. Senate Commerce Committee will hold a hearing entitled Tariffs and Foreign Influence, examining the Panama Canal and its impact on U.S. trade and national security, convened by Republican Senator Ted Cruz. In addition, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State in the Donald Trump administration, is also expected to arrive in Panama. All this is happening in a scenario marked by Trump's threat to regain control of the strategic route using Chinese interference as an unfounded argument. What is the specific objective of this hearing? It's an extraordinary exploratory exercise. Does it seek to lay the groundwork for future legislative actions? What actions could the Senate recommend following this event? What can the Panamanian government do about it? These are some of the questions that arise on the subject. United States Senate committee hearings are a mechanism for gathering and analyzing information in the early stages of a legislative process. They allow us to understand who members of Congress are listening to, what their policy priorities are, and what perceptions are guiding the legislative agenda. They could lead to legislation or simply information, says Ricardo Alberto Arias, former foreign minister and former ambassador of Panama to the United States. However, he warns that the possibility of this hearing on the canal's tariffs leading to legislation is remote. The Senate holds these meetings constantly on current issues, adds Arias, who also believes that since it is the Trade Committee, the focus will probably be more on tariffs than on alleged violation of international treaties, as Trump and his followers have implied. Attorney Rodrigo Noriega highlights two reasons why these hearings are relevant. They're broadcast live, in this case, on YouTube, which makes them a media spectacle. And the committee chairman, Ted Cruz, has the power to choose the guests. If you want a balanced hearing, you invite people with diverse perspectives, says Noriega. Witnesses called by Cruz include Luis E. Sola, chairman of the Federal Maritime Commission, the FMC, Daniel B. Maffei, commissioner of the same agency, Eugene Kontrovich, professor of George Mason University School of Law, and Joseph Kramek, executive director of the World Shipping Council. Sola, the newly appointed president of the FMC, has ties to the company Amador Marina S.A., which received 11.3 hectares on the Amador Causeway from the Ministry of Public Security to develop a private marine landfill. This is on Flamenco Island, at the entrance to the canal. The company also has concessions granted by the Panama Maritime Authority and the Administrative Unit of Reverted Assets, both with 20-year renewable terms. Now, according to the Senate Commerce Committee's website, another witness will be announced in the hours leading up to the hearing. Unofficially, it was learned that Panamanian Foreign Minister Javier Martinez Acha and Panama's Ambassador to Washington Jose Miguel Alemán could attend. Noriega agrees with Arias that after the hearing, two scenarios could occur. The Senate could send notes with transcripts and findings to the corresponding authorities, or it could decide to draft a bill based on the information gathered. Every time a controversial issue arises or one that shakes public opinion, they hold hearings. It's the Senate's mechanism to delve deeper into an issue, he explains. According to Noriega, Panama must remain very alert to the actions of the Senate, since this legislative body has the ability to slow down or speed up President Trump. He also underlines the importance of lobbying with Republican and Democratic senators. And he also said the Panamanian diplomatic corps in Washington should act firmly and, if necessary, hire lobbying firms specializing in legislative issues. Recently, it was reported that the Panamanian government hired the firm BGR Group, known for its ties to the Republican Party, to provide government relations services. Panamanian authorities reported on Sunday the seizure of 569 drug packages found in a container bound for Spain. The seizure was carried out by the Drug Prosecutor's Office of Colón and Gunayala, and was carried out during the search and seizure of a container that had anomalies on the floor, the public prosecutor's office indicated on its social networks. 569 packages of suspected drugs were located. The container was destined for Spain, says the official information, which was published on the X network, accompanied by a photo of the stash. Typically, drug packages weigh 1 kilo each. Cocaine is the most commonly seized illicit substance here in Panama, and Panama is used as a bridge for drugs produced in South America that are mainly destined for the United States, the world's largest consumer of cocaine, and also Europe. The Central American country closed 2024 with the seizure of more than 80 tons of illicit substances, according to official figures. In 2023, the figure was 119.2 tons, the vast majority of which was cocaine, according to data released by the Ministry of Public Security. The The Panama Canal has been managed with excellence and to the highest international standards. This is highlighted by the Chamber of Commerce, Industry and Agriculture of Panama in its regular Sunday column, La Cámara Opina. The CCIAP has stated that the private sector association now dedicates this section to highlighting the role that the interoceanic route plays in the economic development of the country and as a vital tool for global trade. At a time when President Donald Trump is threatening to reverse Panamanian management, the Chamber of Commerce says managing an infrastructure of this magnitude, which connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, is a responsibility that we Panamanians have assumed with seriousness and long-term vision. The Chamber of Commerce states that the Panama Canal is, without a doubt, one of the greatest symbols of national identity and pride. Its relevance transcends our borders and makes it one of the most important infrastructures for global maritime trade. All this under the impeccable Panamanian administration, which since assuming control of this monumental work has demonstrated to the world the capacity, commitment, and excellence of our country, they emphasize. Also, they added that since the canal passed into Panamanian hands, its operation has not only maintained the highest international standards, but has also exceeded expectations in terms of innovation, sustainability, and efficiency. The CCIAP said that one of the greatest achievements of this administration has been the expansion of the canal, a historic project that transformed its capacity and adapted its operations to the needs of global trade. The construction of the third set of locks allowed us to receive larger vessels, consolidating the canal as a strategic route for maritime transport and guaranteeing its competitiveness. This is compared to other alternative routes. This project, led and executed under the Panamanian administration, is a clear reflection of our ability to undertake large-scale challenges and exceed expectations. The Business Association also notes that the economic impact of the canal under Panamanian management is undeniable. Direct contributions to the Panamanian state have been fundamental to the country's growth and development. These transfers have financed important infrastructure projects, education and social programs that benefit thousands of Panamanians. Beyond the numbers, the canal represents a key tool for building the future of Panamanians. Additionally, they say that a sustainable approach has been integrated into the operation. The protection of the watershed, the optimization of water use, and responsible environmental practices reflect a commitment not only to the economy, but also to the preservation of our natural resources. The business community defends the oceanic route and points out that it represents the capacity of a country that is small in territory, but immense in determination. The Panama Canal also has a profound symbolic impact. It represents the ability of a country, a small country in territory, but immense in determination, to take control of its destiny and successfully manage one of the most important infrastructures in the world. It is a constant reminder of what we can achieve when we work together as a nation with discipline, vision, and pride. And that's it. There's our look for this morning. Some of the items in the international news, well, a little bit from the international news with regards to Colombia, and our local news here in the Republic of Panama.